Heavenly Father, once again, what a wonderful privilege it is to open your word and allow the Holy Spirit to speak directly to our hearts from the word of God, which is the will of God. And Lord, as we read your word, you will lead us and guide us into all truth and show us things to come. You will open the eyes of our understanding and enlighten our hearts that we might know the hope of our calling and that we might walk worthy of it. We thank you for confirming your word in our lives, not only today, but every day of our lives as we look to you as the author and finisher of our faith, as we walk by faith and not by sight. We just thank you, Lord, that you have a destiny for every one of us. And as we surrender to you and submit to you, you will bring us into that destiny for your honor and for your glory alone. We give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. The message today is entitled, Blessed Be the Father, Ephesians chapter 1. And I want to read a few verses beginning in verse 2. And I'm reading from the New American Standard Version of the Bible. Paul says, Grace to you and peace from God, our Father. Look at somebody and say, Our Father. Grace to you and peace. God wants you to have His grace operating in your life all the time. That, of course, is His unmerited, unearned, undeserved favor that comes to us through faith in Jesus Christ. Grace to you and peace. Peace, I've told you before, is the lack of stress in your life. When you get rid of the stress, you're going to have peace. You'll be able to rest. You'll be able to relax. You'll be able to hear God's voice more clearly. You'll be able to understand His plan and purpose for your life. But Paul is greeting the church, and it's the Holy Ghost greeting every one of you right now when he says, grace and peace. Grace to you and peace. Where does it come from? From God our Father, and also from our Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we would be holy and blameless before Him. In love, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will, to the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed upon us in the Beloved. In Him, we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of His grace, which He lavished on us. In all wisdom and insight, He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His kind intention, which He purposed in Him, with a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of the times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in the heavens, things on the earth. In Him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to His purpose, who works all things after the counsel of His will, to the end that we also were the first to hope in Christ, would be to the praise of His glory. In Him you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in Him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, with a view to the redemption of God's own possession, to the praise of His glory. In this opening statement of Paul's letter to the Ephesian church, the Holy Spirit wants to speak to the church today. To every one of you listening to me, not only in this local congregation, but wherever this message may travel, the Holy Spirit is speaking to the church, which is made up of all believers all over the world. And He's extending and confirming that God is extending grace to every one of us and peace that comes only from Him and from the Lord Jesus Christ. And then He says, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. And if I can paraphrase this verse, he's saying, Blessed be the Father who has blessed us in Christ. Blessed be the Father who has blessed us in Christ. Our Heavenly Father is offering His blessing, the fullness. If you can just grasp this concept, offering the fullness of His blessing on every individual who will believe in Jesus. If you, no matter who you are, If you will simply believe in Jesus. What does it mean to believe? It just simply means to accept all that He's done for you. What has He done? He laid down His life. He was crucified on the cross. He was wounded for your transgressions. He was bruised for your iniquities. He was chastised for your peace. And with His stripes, you are healed. He took on His body the punishment for all of your sins, past, present, and future. And so, God has not gone soft on sin. In fact, the sin that you may commit tomorrow has already been punished in the body of Jesus. And Jesus suffered severely for the sins that you have yet to commit. But if you believe on Him, that puts you in Him. You are in Christ. And 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone... Now look at your neighbor and say, pay attention, because he's talking about you. If anyone is in Christ, if you are in Christ, he says, you are a new creation. In the Greek, that says a new species of being, something that has never been before, a whole brand new animal. And that's what you are in Christ. You're not a remake of the old you. Amen? You need to understand that. God just didn't take you and say, well, let's try to fix this up as best we can. No, He put you in Christ, and you are a whole new species. You're a whole new creation, a whole new being. If any man is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, old things have passed away. All of the terrible negative memories and sins and transgressions of your life have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're a new person in Jesus Christ. Amen. I don't care how many times you may have heard that, until you internalize that and say, yes, I believe it, yes, I accept it, you're never going to receive the full benefit of it. But if you're listening to me today and you're sitting there and you say, you know what, I'm sick and tired of being sick and tired, I want that new creation, you can have it right now. And before you leave this place today, you can walk out of here a new species of being. Because anyone that's in Christ is blessed by God. Blessed be the Father who has blessed us in Christ. Now, He also says we have every spiritual blessing. We have. To have something means that you possess it. Now remember, we walk by faith and not by sight. So don't look at what you see to determine what you have. Because God says you have. That's present perfect tense. You have it. We have every spiritual blessing we will ever need to succeed in this life. Now, don't misunderstand, when He's talking about spiritual blessing, that's not negating the material things that we need in the life. When He's talking about spiritual blessings, He's just simply saying God is a spirit and all things come from Him. Amen. So the spiritual blessing includes the material and the physical wealth that you need. Amen. If you have a family, you need a house to live in. Amen? If you got a job and you need to go to work, you need a car to drive. Amen? You need clothing. You need food. These are essential things. And God says, your Father knows that you have need of these things even before you ask for them. So you don't need to spend a lot of time dwelling on, oh God, please give me food. Oh God, please give me clothes. Oh God, where am I going to live? He said, if you will seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. Now, what is His righteousness? His righteousness is Jesus. Amen. You are made right with God by believing in Jesus. So He says, if you'll seek first His kingdom, that means stop trying to build your own little kingdom. Amen? Amen. And start allowing God to reveal His kingdom to you and where you fit in. If you seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, and the only way to be right with Him is His way. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness, He said, then everything else will fall in place. Everything else will be added unto you. You're not going to have to work yourself to death to buy or build a house or pay your mortgage payments or whatever your obligations are. I'll tell you what, God will meet your needs through His riches and glory by Christ. He'll do that for you if you'll just believe in Him and trust in Him. James 1:17 says, and let me just, rather than try to quote it, let me just read it to you. James 1:17 says, every good thing given and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shifting shadow. What does that mean? It means that every good thing that comes into your life comes from God. He has blessed you with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places. In other words, it comes from heaven. It comes from heaven. It comes from God. And when he says when there is no variation, he's talking about the fact that God is not a respecter of persons. He will do for you what he's promised to do for every one of his children. You're not an exception. Do you understand that? You're not an exception. The devil wants to talk you out of the blessing of God and say, well, you don't deserve it. But you know what? God doesn't give it to you based upon whether you deserve it or not. He gives it to you based upon you believing him. Amen. Believing his word. Hallelujah. God wants to bless you today. As our Heavenly Father, God shares all that he has and all that he is with all of his children. And that's talking about our spirit, our soul, and our body. God wants you to be whole in every area of your life. He wants you to be healthy. He wants you to prosper, be in health, even as your soul prospers. So this includes he shares his righteousness with you. He makes you right. He shares his resources with you. That means that whatever you need, God has it, and he'll share it with you. He shares privilege, the privilege you have as being a child of God. Positionally, we are seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And also, he shares his power with us. Amen? God's power is resident inside of us. Greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We only need to accept it by faith and as a gift of his grace. Listen to these words of Paul in Romans chapter 8. Verse number 16 and 17, and internalize these words because he means them for every one of his children. Romans 8, 16 says that the Spirit, speaking of the Holy Spirit himself, testifies or bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. In other words, if you're born again, you don't have to guess about it. You know it. Amen? I know I'm a child of God, not because I earned it, but because I quit trying to earn it and I just gave up and I surrendered. And I said, okay, God, if I'm ever going to change, it's going to be because you do it, not because I do it. If I'm ever going to be the person you want me to be, it's going to be because you make me, not because I make me. And so the Spirit testifies with our spirit that we're the children of God. Verse 17, and if children, heirs. Look at somebody and smile real big and say, I'm an heir. An heir, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ. Or the King James puts it this way. It says joint heirs with Christ. And that literally means co-equal heirs with Christ. Everything that Jesus inherited from his Father as a son, we also inherit. Now, every one of you, and listen carefully, every one of you, including myself, sitting here today, standing here today, if we would just get a full revelation of that, we would never, ever worry again about money. Hello? Would never, ever worry again about money. Most people work themselves sick trying to earn money, and then they spend all that money trying to regain their health. It's a vicious cycle. When what you need to do is just simply believe God to take care of you. And I'm not talking about being lazy and not doing any work. I'm just saying let your work be a joy and do it as unto the Lord. And realize your job is not your source. God is your source. If your job is not paying you enough money to meet your needs, then you need to just start worshiping God, praising God, make sure that you're giving your tithe and your offering, sowing that seed so that God can produce a miracle harvest from the seed you sow. Amen? If you give, it will be given to you. But as you give, believe God to multiply, and then God is your source, and you're not going to have to worry about whether or not you're going to get by. If you are looking to your own strength and your own wisdom and your own ability, you will eventually exhaust yourself. Most people I know, unfortunately, live far beyond their means. My mom used to say, your eyes are bigger than your belly. Amen? You want too much, too quick. But you know what? God is merciful. And He can forgive your debts. And He can restore you. Maybe you've made some kind of a terrible mistake financially and you're wondering, how am I ever going to get out of this mess? Just admit it and ask for the Lord's help. I've seen God forgive millions of dollars in debts for people simply because they ask Him to. You know, that's why God in the Old Testament and the children of Israel instituted the year of Jubilee. Every 50 years, every debt was canceled and forgiven, and they started over again. That's what God did for the children of Israel. Now, that was under the old covenant. Today, we're in the new covenant, which is a better covenant based upon better promises and a better sacrifice, being Jesus. So Jesus Himself is our Jubilee. He says, whom the Son makes free is free indeed. So in the name of Jesus, I just declare that we're free from our debts. Amen? Because that's what the Word of God says. I'm not going to let myself be bogged down by worrying about money, worrying about finances, because the Lord has promised to meet our needs. Amen? Every single one of us. So don't be fearful about money. Moving on to verse 4 in Ephesians 1, and I'll quickly wrap this up. He says, just as He chose us in Him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before Him. You see, we are chosen. In fact, in 1 Peter 2, 9 and 10, the Apostle Peter, at least in the King James, says, you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of Him that has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what we are. We're chosen. Look at somebody, smile and say, I'm chosen.
I'm chosen.
Amen. You are chosen. You are a chosen generation. You are a royal priesthood. You are a holy nation. And the purpose is that you would show forth the praises of Him that called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what God says about every one of His children. God sees us as being holy and blameless in Christ. Amen? That's the way He sees you. He doesn't see you the way you see yourself. He doesn't see you the way other people see you. He doesn't judge you, criticize you, put you down, condemn you, tell you you're not worth anything, tell you you're not going to be any good anytime in your life, point out all of your flaws and your mistakes and your shortcomings. God doesn't do that with you. Because Jesus Christ paid the price for all of your transgressions. Every single one of them, He sees you as holy and pure and righteous. Isaiah 53, 6 says, all we like sheep have gone astray. Every one of us, we've strayed. We've gone astray. We've blown it. We've missed it. Not one exception. All we like sheep have gone astray. But the Lord, that is the Father God, has laid upon Him, Jesus the Son, the iniquity of us all. Whatever sin you may be struggling with right now, whatever bad habit, whatever mistake you've made in your life, this very moment, Jesus suffered and died 2,000 years ago to pay the penalty for that sin that you're struggling with now. You need only let go of it and let God release you into His mercy and grace and forgiveness. He looks at you and sees you as holy. Holy means to be set aside, to be special, to be anointed for service to the Lord. Blameless is very simple, self-explanatory. It is less blame. Blame less. You are less the blame. He has taken the blame away. Jesus carried the blame. The wonderful thing about it is not only did He die on the cross, but He rose from the dead. He's alive forevermore, and He's seated at the right hand of the Father where He ever lives to make intercession for us. And this is the greatest expression of our Heavenly Father's love for us. Amen? I mean, most every one of you could probably quote John 3:16, for God so loved the world. God, our Heavenly Father, He so loved the world, every one of us, that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him. See, there's no exceptions. God is not willing for anybody to perish, but for everybody to come to repentance. Repentance is not a word where it says you've got to work or earn your favor with God. Repentance just simply means a change of mind or a change of direction. Stop doing it your way and start doing it God's way. God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance or a change of mind. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. Isn't it time that you let go of what you've been living and calling life, which has not been life at all, it's just been existence. You've been existing. Until you meet Jesus, you don't know what life is. I'm telling you the truth. I lived that way for almost 23 years of my life. For 23 years of my life, I existed. And I came up short and frustrated and bankrupt in my heart all the time. But the day that I said yes to Jesus, I knelt at an altar and a man prayed with me. And when I got up, there was a tremendous load lifted off my shoulder. I was free. I was free. From that day until now, I've made plenty of mistakes. I've failed. I've fallen short. I've been disappointed in myself, and other people have been disappointed in me. But I want to tell you something. My Heavenly Father tells me and assures me that He's never been disappointed in me, that He loves me with an everlasting love. Oh, I've sat down and I feel sorry for myself. And, you know, it's crazy the way a pity party goes. It starts off with only you, but then, you know, a party of one is not much, so you just try to invite everybody else. And how do you do that? Well, however you do it and communicate, whether it's through email, Facebook, telephone calls, letters, whatever, you start telling everybody about the woes of your life. Oh, poor me, poor me. Well, poor you, it's your fault. Just going to tell it like it is. I'm going to get in your face and say, grow up. Hello. God is offering you forgiveness. He's offering you redemption. He's offering you cleansing. He's offering you holiness. He's offering you everything that Christ died for. And you're going to sit back and say, I don't think I can do this. Don't make me swear, but please, please. Don't let the devil cheat you out of the blessing that God has for your life. He loves you so much. He forgives you. He wants to restore you. He wants to make you a trophy of His grace. He wants to use you to glorify His name in all the earth. In verse 5, Paul went on to say, He predestined us to adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself, according to the kind intention of His will. In Christ, we're all sons of God. Amen. With all the benefits and the privileges of sons of God. And he points that out in so many places, but specifically in the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 3, verse 26, Paul makes this statement, For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For all of you who were baptized into Christ have clothed yourself with Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither slave nor free man. There's neither male or female. For you are all one in Christ Jesus. And if you belong to Christ, then are you Abraham's descendants, heirs according to the promise. What does that mean? If you're an heir, that means you have an inheritance. An inheritance means God's going to take care of you. Amen? I want to drop down to verse 9 in Ephesians 1, and he says that he made known to us the mystery of his will. Well, what is the mystery of his will? You can follow up on these words and do a word study. And I found Colossians 1:27 talks about mystery. What is the mystery? The mystery of God's will. Well, Colossians 1:27, let me turn over there and read it to you. This is what Paul says. To whom God willed to make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles. And here it is. Here's the secret of God's will for your life. Here's the mystery. Which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's the mystery of God's will. What's God's will for your life? It's to get Christ in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Once you get Jesus in you, then God can do something with you. He'll be your guidance system. He'll be your provision. He'll be your protector. He'll be the voice of God speaking and guiding and directing you. That's the mystery of the will of God, is stop trying to be a Christian. You listening to me? Stop it. Just stop right now. Stop trying to be a Christian because you're not good enough and not smart enough and not pretty enough. Hello? You can't be a Christian by your own strength, power, and wisdom. The only way that you can be a Christian is to let Christ live in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Stop struggling. Give up. Surrender. Say, Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Savior. Be my Lord. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. My life is no longer mine. It's yours. I give it to you. I messed it up. Now you fix it up. And he'll say to you, I'm not only going to fix it, I'm going to make you a new species of being. I'm going to make you a new creation. Your old life has passed away and everything is going to be new. Amen? And finally, down in verse 13 of Ephesians 1, it says, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having also believed, you were sealed in him with the Holy Spirit of promise, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance. What is that saying? It says that in him, in Jesus, in Christ, in him, you also, after listening to the message of truth. You see, faith comes by hearing, Romans 10, 17, and hearing the word of Christ, or hearing the gospel, hearing the good news. And then he says, after hearing the message of the gospel of your salvation, having also believed it. That's all you have to do, is to believe it. There were some people that came to Jesus in Acts chapter 16, and they asked the question, what must we do to be saved? That's a pretty weighty question. Somebody would think it would take some deep theological mind to explain it, but the answer is, what must I do to be saved? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. That's simple. That's simple. Believe on what Jesus did for you. Then he says, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. You know what that's talking about? It's talking about God's official mark of ownership on our lives. When something is sealed, you know, that means that it's shut up and nothing can escape out of it. You seal a container, seal a lid, or seal something, unless you break the seal, that thing is intact, whatever it might be. And God's seal is his mark of ownership on us. We are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Or in the Greek, the word literally talks about the Holy Spirit as being a down payment or a pledge. If you read it here, it says in verse 14, who is given as a pledge of our inheritance, or a down payment. The Holy Ghost is the down payment on the glory of God in our life. Our Heavenly Father loves us unconditionally in Christ, and by His grace He bestows upon every child of God an inheritance that is absolutely incorruptible. Amen. And let me just close with this thought about our blessed Heavenly Father. In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 and 4, Peter says, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His great mercy has caused us to be born again to a lively hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away. The King James calls it incorruptible. The inheritance that we have is incorruptible. Blessed be the Father. He is our Heavenly Father. And the love of our Father was demonstrated through His Son, Jesus Christ, when He gave Him to die for your sins. And that blood has not lost its power. It's still cleansing the heart of all sinners today. And if you need cleansing, He's offering it to you right now. I want everybody here just to bow your head, close your eyes. Listen to what you've heard today about the blessed Heavenly Father. How much He cares, how much He's reaching out to you right now. And those of you listening over the internet or listening to a CD, you pray this prayer right along with us. You know, I believe in altar calls. I believe in people getting out of their seats and walking down to the altar and praying and not being ashamed or embarrassed. But I want you to know that right there in the privacy of your heart, with your head bowed and your eyes closed and nobody looking around, and you just say in your own heart to the Lord, sincerely talk to Him, He will not deny you and He will not turn you away. Jesus said in John chapter 6, anyone that comes to Me, I will in no wise cast them out. He's going to accept you on the basis of what you say to Him right now. So I want you to follow these words and say them sincerely from your heart. And if you do, it'll be the beginning of a new start for you. You can be a new creature. Old things can pass away. All things can become new. And today will indeed be the first day of the rest of your life of walking in the grace of God. So pray this prayer with me out loud. Every one of you, I don't care if you've been a Christian for years and years and years, it won't hurt you to pray this prayer again. But if you're hurting and you're estranged from God and you're not sure of your position and you're miserable, then you need to pray this with hope and with faith and knowing that God will answer your prayer. Say this with me out loud. Heavenly Father, I humble myself before the throne of grace right now in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I believe that Jesus is the Son of God, that He shed His blood on the cross for the forgiveness of all my sins, past, present, and future. And I confess that I have sinned and I have problems even now that I can't solve. And so I ask You, Lord, to forgive me of all my sins and cleanse me completely by the blood of Jesus Christ. I open my heart right now. I ask You, Jesus, come into my heart. You are the hope of glory in my life. So come in now and live Your life in me and through me. I believe that Jesus came in the flesh, died on the cross, rose from the dead, ascended on high, is seated at the right hand of the Father, where He ever lives to make intercession for me. I believe He poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, and I ask that even now, Heavenly Father, seal my heart with the Holy Spirit until the day of redemption. From this day forward, I believe Jesus Christ is my Lord, my Savior. I am born again. My sins are forgiven, and all of my problems are being worked out right now. From this day forward, I have victory, I have success, and I have peace, the peace of God that passes all understanding. And I thank You for it, Father. Blessed be Your name, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Father God, for everyone that prayed that prayer, I pray that the power and the person of the Holy Spirit would quicken their spirit, their soul, and even their mortal body, and let each and every one of us begin to enjoy and appreciate the fullness of the inheritance and the blessing that is given to every child of God. For we are all sons of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and we are all heirs of God through faith in Jesus Christ, and we all believe for the fullness of our inheritance from this moment forward. And Father, thank You for just opening our eyes to behold Your glory and to appreciate our inheritance and to walk in the fullness of it, that our lives might be a living testimony to this world, that we might be ambassadors of Jesus Christ and let our light shine that men may see our good works and glorify You, our Father in heaven. For You are blessed, Father God, and we love You with all of our hearts and thank You for being patient with us and loving us and keeping us in Your tender care always in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Amen. And give God a praise this morning. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.